easy to know. Parsha Vayera starts off Yedaber Elokim El Moshe, the word Elokim first. Vayomer Elov Ani Hashem, and he said to him, I am Hashem. The word Elokim, the word Hashem. The word Vayedaber, and the word Vayomer. All make it in that first pasuk. So obviously there's something going on. There's something different about the Shem Elokim and the Shem Hashem. It's between Vayedaber and between Vayomer. So what's the difference between them? So here's the idea. You have to understand, as a haktamah, as an introduction to any shot, I'm going to say the name, but you really, only in learning are you supposed to say it. The name Shaddoi and the name Elohim both stand for God in this world. Now they stand for different things in this world. Shaddoi is supposed to be the name of a Kaddish Baruch Hu that he uses while fighting in a war, to be Minatzeach in Melchamos. That's how the Ramban puts it, that he's Minatzeach in Melchamos. He wins a war. That's the Shem Shakoi, Shin Dalad Yud. And Elokim is supposed to be the gematria of Hateva. It's the gematria of 86. Elokim, Hateva is the gematria of 86. It's supposed to be the idea of how a Kaddish Baruch Hu treats us in this world. He is Mashkiach B'Pratos. He takes care of all our little things in this world. You want Shalin? I'll get you Shalin. You want Mountain Dew? I don't know why. You can have Mountain Dew. You have anything that you possibly could want. Here it is. That's it for you. Now, Shakoi also means limitations, because the word die. That's it. There's a limit. There's a limit to what you can do over here. But there's both of those. Havaya, Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey. That's the name that you don't say. That is totally off. The reason why we don't say it is because it's too far out of our world to be shayach to us. We're so far beyond it. It's the actual name of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. It represents what God is.
God doesn't exist in this
world. So it's all it is to us is Haya Hove V'Yiyah. He was, He is, He will be. We don't understand how it works. We don't understand how it goes. We don't really know how Yud Hey Vav Hey stands for HaYehovah V'Yiyah. I mean, otherwise you just say HaYehovah V'Yiyah. We don't really know how that is. You're not even allowed to say it. You have to say it as the word Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, as Adonai. You have to say it as my master. He's my master. He's something that I just don't get. He's not something inside this world. He's beyond this world. He's beyond this world. He's too far beyond us. Okay. Now we can understand a little bit. I'm going to read the Pesukim. We read the Pesukim, now we're going to get there. Vayedaber Elokim al Moshe, God spoke to Moshe, Elokim spoke to Moshe. Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem, said to him, I am Hashem Yudke Vodke. Va'era Avram Ve'el Yitzchak Ve'el Yaakov, I appeared to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, to the forefathers, Bekel Shakoi, with the name of El, and the name of Shaddoi. That's what I appeared with. Ushmi Hashem is my name of Yudke Vodke, Lona Datilam. I never told them that name of Yudke Vodke. Never told them that name. And I established my bris with them, to give them the land of Canaan, it's Eretz Megurim Asher Gerubah, the land that they grew up in. And I also heard the cries of Bnei Israel from Mitzrayim, my beautiful song that Mitzrayim was doing to them. And I remember that bris that I did with them. Therefore, you have to go to Bnei Israel and you say these words, I am Hashem. And then it's both Seisi, Vitzalti, Vigualti, Vilakachti. The four Lashonos of Geula, I'm going to bring you all out. I'm going to bring you to the land of Eretz Yisrael, and that's that. Moshe spoke to Bnei Yisrael, Belo Shamu al Moshe, Mikot Zeruach Me'avodah Kasha. They didn't listen to Moshe because of how hard the work was. They didn't listen at it. Now we have to understand. If somebody says Yud He Vav He in the proper way, so what happens? Says in the proper way, and I don't mean like what happens, like he'll say it, and then all of a sudden, like nothing will happen. I mean, like, what's the punishment for such a thing? What if you do your, it's called a Hoga Es Hashem Ba'us Yosef. You pronounce God's name in its letters with the trump. Elo Chelik. What we call it is, he gets nothing. He gets absolutely nothing. No Chelik in Olam Haba, that's huge. Just for saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. How does that work exactly? So Schwab says an unbelievable word. He says this, it's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. You know, Lavan said Yudke Vavke. Lavan said his name. Lavan was able to say it. I don't think he used the word Aleph Dalet Nun Yud when referring to God as Yudke Vavke. Doesn't look like he said it as Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. It seems like he said the actual name of Yudke Vavke. So Lavan, Yaakov allowed him to say that name? Why wouldn't he stop him? Yeah, no chelik in Olam Haba. Let's make sure that Lavan doesn't get in Olam Haba. But it's not right. Says Rav Schwab, the only time it's usher to do is if you know who he is, you know how great God is, and you say the name anyway. Because only then are you going up against God, and you're saying to God, I know you have kavod, I don't care. I'm saying what I want to say. I'm doing what I want to do. But if God is not known by the person, like Paro, Mi Hashem Asher Hashma Bekolo, who is this Yudke Vavke that I should listen to his voice? If you don't know who he is, and you pronounce it as Yudke Vavke, there's no problem. There's no problem. That's a big chiddush, yeah.
What about like going or whatever, if they have the like witness, you know? And they, like,
that's exactly what we're saying. Right now, those types of people. I was in Yeshiva Nekayas. I was teaching Nekayas. It was years ago. And a guy came up to me. And you know, you always have those stories. A guy came up to me. I'm walking into the parking lot of Skokie Yeshiva. And a guy comes up to me and he says, "Hi, can you pronounce this name for me?" And he showed me the name of Yud Hey Vavin Hey with the Nekudos. "Can you pronounce that name for me?" So I said, "I can't." I said, "To be honest with you, I really can't. There's no way for us to pronounce that name. We hold that it's such a holy name that we don't pronounce it in this world. Instead, we say the name of Adonai. We say the name of my master instead of it, but we cannot say that actual name of Yud Hey Vavin. Cannot say the actual name." He was shocked. He said, "What are you talking about? My wife says it all the time." You know, I don't know if he was Jewish. I don't know if he was. You know, he didn't necessarily have the nose for it. But he wasn't. No, it wasn't a kaiskid. It was an adult that came up to me. He had the little shim in his hand. He came up to me, and he was shocked. He's like, "You don't say the name." I don't know what the result of that conversation was. He went down in his car. I waited there to make sure that he left, so he wouldn't be going up to any kaiskids. But Lamaisa, he left, and that was all it. But it's such a crazy little line. What in the world does this mean? Says Rav Schwab, before God revealed himself to the world, before God put himself out there and did all the Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf and Har Sinai and the Melchames HaMolech and all the crazy miracles that happened in front of Klal Yisrael, before all that happened in the Midbar, with everything, with the Mun, with the Be'er, with the Anani HaKavod, with everything that was happening, which everybody clearly saw that God was doing something, that God was involved over here, and before that all happens, God wasn't known by the world. They didn't know who he was. So if people said the name Yud-Heh and Vav-Heh together, it didn't mean anything to them. It doesn't make a difference. That's not someone who's not going to get a sale in Olam Haba. It's not that big of a deal. But now, once Bnei Yisrael saw all those miracles, then all of a sudden it became something so bad that if you say that name, you have no chelik in Olam Haba. However, it didn't necessarily ever apply to Goyim. Because even though the Goyim saw it, they didn't really know about it. They didn't really know what it meant. They didn't really know what was going on. They like somewhat know, but they don't really know their head, this and that and the other. So says the Maral Diskin, three major questions on this pasuk. Number one, the Avos did hear Yudke Vavke. You look through Bereishis. Yudke Vavke is all over the place. What do you mean? Lo no dati lahem. I never let them know Yudke Vavke. Lo no dati. No. The Eirel Avron, the Yitzchak, the Yaakov, the Kel Shakoyu. Shmi Hashem lo no dati lahem. I never told it to them. I never told them Shmi Hashem. I never told them Yudke Vavke. What do you mean? It's all over the place. Yudke Vavke is all over Bereishis. It's all over everywhere. What do you mean he never knew them? How could that possibly be? Number two. Right now we have to say them Ani Hashem. He has to say that Moshe Rabbeinu, by Yom Re'ilav, Ani Hashem. I am Hashem. And all of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu is like, "Oh, that's who I'm talking to. That's who it is. I was wondering. I wasn't sure if it was you. Never, it might have been somebody else."
Never kept to promise them, though. Even though he's promised them that he just got it.
I realize, but what is that Ani Hashem?
He never did it.
But what does that mean that he's telling them Ani Hashem? What does it mean that I never told them this? I understand your part is Vagama Kimosius. Please say, "I'm going to establish my birth." I understand that. But what is the Ani Hashem? What's he trying to get at? What's he trying to do? And then Lachina Moral Bnei Yisrael, go tell Bnei Yisrael Ani Hashem. Go tell them I am Hashem. What does he want? What is that? Both says if he tells them to Lakati, go tell them I understand. But Ani Hashem, what do they have to know about this? Because the pshat is by Yeshev Moshe at the end of last week's parsha, Moshe went back by Yashav Moshe El Hashem. He went back to Hashem. You know where he went? He went back to Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu went back to Har Sinai, and he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "You promised me on this mountain that I was going to take Bnei Yisrael out. Well, guess what, God? Everything's been happening really, really bad. There's been a horrible things. The Jews have been going, they've been going down. They've had to do all this avoda. They've had to do all this stuff. It's just not happening. So what happened? He went back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and complained. Vayedaber Elokim El Moshe. Elokim is the way God reveals himself in this world. A way of teva, of nature. I know, says God, that until now, I've been seen in this world as just Mother Nature. The guy who's taking care of the world, but I never really go down and do anything for anybody. Avraham Avinu beat the four kings, but he beat them with dirt that turned into arrows. Now granted, that was a miracle. But it wasn't God. It was Avraham Avinu who knew that this dirt would turn into arrows if you went any through it. Avraham Avinu survived the Kishon HaYeshua. It wasn't like HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down and did anything. You could say that Avraham Avinu was a mechashet. He was able to do things. It didn't necessarily prove that there was a God. Didn't prove at all. right now, says God, things are going to be different. I am going to prove to you for the first and last time within the boundaries of this world that I am Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. That I can go beyond the boundaries of the entire world. It's not Shaddoi, that die, stop, there's limitations. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei has no limitations. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want, and no one can stop me. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm doing it now, and then I'm not doing it ever again. It's never going to be seen ever again. Nobody will see it. Possibly by the times of Mashiach. Possibly in the times of Olam Haba and Tchias Meitzim, whatever it is. It's going to be different. But Yomer Elav Ani Hashem, I am going to be Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. I'm going to be different from every way, whatever the others had, of the way that they saw me, the way they saw me as miracles happening in private ways. They're not going to see that anymore. They're not going to see that. They are going to see me get out there, do tremendous makos, and then a kriyas yam suf, they're going to be able to point at me and say, Zeh Keli, this is my God. God did everything. He'll be able to say it was God. It wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu with his staff or anything like that. They'll be able to point and say, this is God. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, say to Bnei Yisrael, I am Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. That's who I am, that's who I will be, that's what's going to happen to me, it's going to be good. You're going to want to be around for it. Don't die during Choshech. You're going to really want to see all this happen. That's what he was telling them. And that was the idea of Chutz Miderech HaTeva and everything else. And that was the whole problem. But Israel's sitting there and saying, we're supposed to leave at the end of 400 years. We left at the end of 210. So why are we leaving 190 years early? They look at Moshe Rabbeinu and say, what's going on here? Why are we leaving so early? Says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm doing things that are going to be so miraculous. You need a little bit of extra work in order to get there. You're going to have to do a little bit more shibud in order to get to that point. You deserve to leave 190 years early. And once that happens, crazy things will happen. I guarantee you, it won't be like anything that you've ever seen before. That's the idea of Ani Hashem. That's the idea of what was going on behind this whole thing. Now, there's another difference. Vayedaber and Vayomer. Does anybody remember the Gemara, what the difference is between Vayedaber and Vayomer?
Good news, bad news?
Not good news, bad news. It could be either one. It could be either one. But this, very good. Vayedaber is Lashon Kasha. It's a harsh Lashon. Vayomer, Lashon Raka. Soft. Soft Lashon. Vayedaber Elokim al Moshe. Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. Targum Unkelus. When it says Vayedaber, it says im Moshe. But Amira, when it says Vayomer Elav, it's Vayomer Le. It's a Lamed. Not im, it's a Lamed. This is big. The Chidush HaRim says, you know what the purpose of the 10 Makos were? That we start the 7 in this week's Parsha and the 3 in next week's Parsha. You know what the point behind those 10 Makos were? Listen to this line. Chidush HaRim, he had one-liners. It was always a one-liner. Always a one-liner. Chidush HaRim said, to turn the Asara Mamorim, the Asara, the 10 Vayomers that God used to create the world, to turn them into the Aseres Hadibros. That's the line. The 10 Makos turned the Asara Mamorin into the Aseres Hadibros. Do you notice the line? The Asara Mamorin, the 10 times that it says the word Vayomer, to turn into the word Vayedaber. What does that mean? What's that referring to? Listen to how this ties in. Says Rav Shor. Rav Shor says the following. An Amira is soft. You want to listen? You can listen. If you want to say, nah, I don't feel like listening right now, you can say, alright, I don't feel like it right now. You know what creation is? People can look at creation. And if you're really looking for them, you'll find God. You look at creation, you see how a human being is, and no matter what you think on how we started, or whether it's billions of years old, or 5,707 years old, I could care less. At the end of the day, you look at the way that the world is created, you can see that there's a God. But a person can also look at it and say, maybe. I guess so. It doesn't prove anything. That's a Vayomer. Vayomer is, if you want, yeah. If you don't want, eh. Be a little bit soft. You're soft. It could be this way. It doesn't have to be that way. You could pretend that there's nothing there. In our Olam, Olam is the gematria of hell. Not gematria, I'm sorry. The Lashon of Helam. It's hidden. It's not something you can see. It's hidden. It's not there in the world. It's something that you can't really put your finger to. That's Elokim. That's nature. That's God in this world that is here, but I guess he's here. You know what Elohim is made out of? The two words, me and Ela. Elohim is me, bara, Ela. Who created these things? Who created these things? Who did this? And you know what? Some people will be able to answer. Me, bara, Ela? Elohim. Who created this? Well, those words come up. Bara Elohim, Bereshis Bara Elohim. That's what it's referring to. It's me, Bara Elohim. That's exactly what it is. Some people will be able to do this. Some people will be able to look at Teva, look at nature, and say, there's a God. Avraham Avinu was able to look at the world, watch the sun rise, watch the moon rise, and say, there must be a God. There must be something. Certain people can do that, and they can all figure it out. And all the Avos got that. They were able to look into nature as Elohim, see the Shaddai in the world, see everything, the limitations of nature in the world, and realize there must be somebody in charge of this. There must be a God. There must be Elohim. That's the Asara Ma'amarim. The world was created with Bayomers. You want to listen? Okay, there's a God. You don't want to listen? It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. The nature of the world before Har Sinai was you're given a choice. You were given a choice. It's very likely there's a God. But me, Bara Elah, who created these? You can figure it out on your own. If you do it on your own, shkoyach. You didn't figure it out on your own, I feel bad for you.
Many of all these psukim in Tehillim and throughout Malkin that say, who could look at the world and not know this guy? Who knows there a voice not being heard? See, I mean, in all these places, it seems as if, even when God just created the world before the Yetzer Mitzrayim, the world demanded that there was a creator.
Right now, does the world demand that there's a creator?
Yes, in my mind, yeah.
In your mind, yeah. In David HaMelech's mind, yeah. So look at Tehillim. Tehillim is based on David HaMelech himself. David HaMelech is saying, how could you not see a creator? According to him, how could you not? Just look at everything. How could there not be a creator? How could it be? It's the silliest argument in the world. So David HaMelech thinks, so I think. But there are people out there in the world who don't. Whether it's because of Taiva or not because of Taiva, whether there's an actual Taina or not an actual Taina, it doesn't make a difference. There are people that don't have to listen because there's nobody saying anything. There's nobody telling me, look, I am God. And every time that I ask God, God, come on, appear to me. He's hiding. He says, no. He says, absolutely not, I'm not going to do it. That's a Vayomer. The Makos changed that. Once the 10 Makos happened, people looked at the world, and even Paro at the end of the Parsha says, there's a God. There has to be a God. You looked at the 10 Makos happen, and it changed things. It made everything much, much clearer, and especially by Kriyas Yamsuf, the culmination of all the Makos together. At Kriyas Yamsuf, people looked at it and said, holy God. That's all it is. This is the craziest thing in the world. This is the most unbelievable thing in the world. Vayedaber is a lashon of dabor, leading a person to a certain way. It's not suggesting. It's not just saying it. It's saying, come with me. I'm going to show you. I'm going to make sure that you know. The Seres Adibros were about, now you know. Now you have rules. Now you get it? You've seen it? You saw everything happen? It's no longer up to you if you want to listen to it or you don't want to listen to it. Now you have rules. That's exactly it. It's the Aseres Adibros. You have rules now. There's no choice. You have to listen. Up until now, you wanted to listen, you could. Now you must listen. He's here. He is here. He's speaking, not only speaking, forcing you to go and do His will. It's a different story up until now. Amira is a lid. To you, speaking to you. If you want to listen, that's up to you. Dibor is Im, with you. You're already there. You don't have a choice. You're already with Him, and it's too late. You can't do anything about it. He's always around. Havaya means He's always around. He was, He is, and He will be. There's nothing He can do about that. And I'm sorry. You were all born Jewish, and you don't have a choice. I shouldn't say that. There might be something here that I don't know. But could... I think you were all born Jewish, and there is nothing you can do about it. Because a Kaddish Baruch Hu said to you, I am God. And even though you don't remember it, deep down in the recesses of your brain, you know you were there, you saw it, you realized that this is what happened. That God said to you, I created a world, and I showed you who I am. And you don't have a choice. You have to listen to me. We became, this is my line over here, I'm not so sure if this is the best. The Makos, the purpose of the Makos, was to turn us from monotheists into believers, to really believe that He's there, to know what a Kaddish Baruch Hu is doing over here. That's the idea. Vayedaber Elohim El Moshe. He said, until now, it's been Vayomer Elov. It's been a lashon of Amira. Now it's Vayedaber. It's a pure Dibor saying Ani Hashem. And although the wording of the Pasuk doesn't necessarily reference that, that's what it's referring to. Now, I'm going to put this out there for you. Which Makkah showed God to the people so much that no other Makkah compared to it? All the Makkahs together were comparable to it.
Borrowed.
It's a good call. The hail. Not Makas Bechoros. Not Dam. Not any of the others that you might have thought. Baruch. Where do I get that from? It's a Rashi. It's a Rashi, and it's a crazy Rashi. By when he was told, when Moshe Rabbeinu was told that you're going to have the idea of Barad, the Pasuk says in Pasuk Yud Dalid, Perek Tes Pasuk Yud Dalid, Ki Bapam Azos, this time, says God, Anishalech Es Kol Magefosai, I am sending all of my plagues, El Libcha, to your heart, Uvavadech, and against your servants, Uvamechan, and your people, Bavortetas, that you know, Ki Ein Kamoni B'chol Haaretz, there is no one like me in the entire world, says God, this will show you, says Rashi, Es Kol Magefosai, Lamadnu Mikan, we learn from here, Shemakas Bechoros, although that's a mistaken Rashi. Shemakas Barad, the original Rashi has a mem base. Shemakas Barad, Shkula Keneged Kol HaMakos, is equal to every other Maka. Straight out Rashi. Barad was crazy. Try to understand that. What's so crazy about Barad? I mean, it's snow, right? What's the pshat? Niam Loewe says, Barad was the only Makkah that contained Dalid Misos based. Skila, you understand, they were stoned. Sreifa, because it burned them. Hereg, because some of it sliced the people in half when it came down. It sliced them down. Chenek is because you drown in water, that's considered strangulation. And the Barad was made of ice and fire. It was made of water and fire. And there were pools of water that came down with the bar and rain that came down that drowned the Mitzrayim. All Dalet Misos, says the Miyam Loewe, were right there. You know, Kishuv, says Miyam Loewe, cannot affect rain. Kishuv cannot affect rain. No magicians can change the style of rain. If it wants to rain, they can't stop rain. If it's not going to rain, they can't make it rain. I don't know how that works with the Indian dances. I have absolutely no idea. I don't know if Indian dances are considered Kishuv, if it's something a little bit different. I have no idea. But they knew this whole Maka was special. You know, according to a Medrash Rabbah, it targeted them. If a person was running, the Barad would come down, it would chase after them. Wherever they would go, it was like a heat-seeking missile. Well, wherever they went. And it would go wherever they went. It would hit them. If they were supposed to die, it went after them. Rav Schwab points this out. It's the only Makkah where Paro is moted. There are Makkos where Paro goes up to Moshe Rabbeinu when he says, please daven for me, I can't take this anymore. I can't take this pain. There are Makkos where he does that. And there are Makkos where he says, I'm thinking about taking out Klal Yisrael. But Barad was totally different. Listen to what he says. Vayishlach Paro vayikra Moshe Aharon and Pasuk Chaf Zayin vayomer aleihem chatasi apalam. I have sinned this time. I have sinned. It got Paro to say I sinned. Paro's a jerk. Paro doesn't say I sinned. Paro said I sinned. And listen to what he said. Hashem atzadik vani vami arashayim. God is right. God is a tzaddik. I'm wrong. Listen to what it did to him. No other Makkah came anywhere close to doing that to Paro. Paro didn't say a thing. He said, I can't take this. It's too much pain. It's too much for me. By Arov, he did that. By Tzardei, he did that. By Arbe, he did that. Get rid of the death. That he did. But he never said these words. Chatosi apam, Hashem HaTzadik. I have a line. Dever and Barad are the same letters. You ever notice that? Dever and Barad, the exact same letters. You know what the pshat is? It's all about the Barad. Dever was killing the food that they ate, the animals that they were eating. Barad took care of the plants that they ate, the food that they ate on the ground. It destroyed all the pishta and the seora and whatever it was. The arba came along for the slow-growing plants that weren't grown yet. But all the plants in the ground were destroyed by Barad. Bar means food. Dever is the dalid that refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The dalid that, or you could say is dalas, the poorness, losing, is on the right side of the bar. That means it's with rachamim. Because even though it killed all the animals, at least there's plants left. But Barad got rid of everything. The animals are already dead, and this killed the animals and the food. So now they had nothing. So it was bar with dalet on the left side. It was pure meat at the din. There was nothing he could do. Barad was a killer. Barad was an absolute killer. And what happens at the end of the parsha? Look at what happens in the beginning. I should say in the beginning first. Look what it says. Moshe Rabbeinu, in order to daven this, he says the following. He says, I am going to bring it down. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, he says, Nite es yodcha al hashamayim. Stretch out your hand on top of the sky, he said to Moshe Rabbeinu. Stretch out your hand on top of the sky. Look what Rashi says. Rashi says, Hegbiu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe lamala min hashamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought him up above the sky and made him do Makas Barad. It's crazy. Every other Makkah, Moshe Rabbeinu puts his staff, or he makes Aaron put his staff on the water, put his staff on the ground, put his staff in the sky, do whatever it is, right? Throw something into the sky. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted Moshe Rabbeinu up and put him in the sky. Put him in the sky. And at the end of the Makkah, it says, where is it? By Yitzei Moshe mean Paro is a year. Moshe left Paro, he left the city. He went outside of the city to daven. He refused to daven inside the city. Says Rashi, because the city was full of gilulim. The city was full of idols. Full of idols. So Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't daven inside the city. So we had to go where? Outside of the city. Asks everyone. This question is asked by at least 12 Meforshim that I saw this past week. At least 12. By Tzvardeya, Moshe Rabbeinu davened. By Arov, Moshe Rabbeinu davened. Guess where Moshe Rabbeinu davened? Guess. Take a guess. In the city or outside of the city?
In the city.
In the city. All of a sudden he went out of the city because of the idols? What, if there were idols, then why did he daven by there inside the city? What changed? What was different? What happened that made everything go different? So here's the idea. First of all, the Maral Vishen, brilliant answer. Can anybody think of why it would be different by Barad than by any other Makkah? This is a brilliant answer. What happened? Up until this point, where were the sheep? So until this point, the sheep were in the fields, right? What were the gods of the Egyptians? There were sheep. So could Moshe Rabbeinu daven in the fields? No, because the gods were there. Could he daven in the city? Yeah, because there was no god there. By Barad, what happened? Anything that was out in the field died. Anybody who was Yorius, Devar Hashem, if you feared God, what did you do? You brought the animals where? Into the city. You brought them inside your house. So we couldn't daven in the city because now the gods were inside the city. Up until now, the gods were outside, so we could daven inside the city. Now we couldn't because now the gods were inside the city. It's a very pashut answer. That's why I had to go outside because everything was dead outside. That's a pashut answer. But the Shem Yishmol, I'm going to give you two more answers. The Shem Yishmol and Rav Wolfson. It is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Shem Yishmol says, Barad was special. It was Eish and Mayim put together. Eish and Mayim don't go together. You try to put Eish and Mayim together, it's not going to work. According to the way we understand chemistry, there's no way that fire can be with water. It's just impossible. It doesn't work. Where is the only place where Eish and Mayim are together? You guys know it.
Volcano?
No. In the world, God took Eish and Mayim and created... Shamayim. Shamayim stands for Eish Umayim. Shamayim is made up of Eish Umayim. So when Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting there and saying, I want to put Eish and Mayim together, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, I'm putting Eish and Mayim together. Where is he going to get Eish and Mayim together? How's he going to do that? It's impossible. It's not in this world. What did he do? He took Moshe Rabbeinu, lifted him up to Shamayim, and he took the bird from there where Eish and Mayim can be together and threw it down to the ground. He was able to bring it from a world where Eish and Mayim work together. Now normally Moshe Rabbeinu could daven among the Mitzrayim the same way that we can daven among Goyim. You can daven in an airport, right? No problem with davening in an airport. You daven in an airport even though there are other people around there that are Tomei. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever. You can still daven. There's no problem with that whatsoever. So normally Moshe Rabbeinu could daven in Mitzrayim. But Barad was different. You want to stop this? You want to stop Barad? Barad was so up high. It was such a holy thing. It was on such a level. You want to stop Barad? You got to be in Shemayim. You got to be all the way up there in Shemayim. There's nothing you can do. Your head has to be different. Even one idol in the city would not be enough. By Tzardeh and Arav, it wasn't that big of a deal to get rid of frogs, to get rid of wild animals. Then you could dive into the city even if there are idols there. But for this Makkah, you couldn't have one idol in the city. One idol in the city made it Tameh, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have the Kavanah that he needed. He wouldn't have the Tefillah that he needed. He wouldn't have the Kedusha that he needed. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu have to do? He had to leave the city. He had to get out of the city to daven for Barad to stop. But come on, guys. Everyone knows the Medrash. Everyone knows what happened to the rest of the Barad that didn't come down.
For later,
God is waiting it. It did come down a little bit by the 31 kings. A little bit. But the rest of it is up there. And it's still there. It's still there. And it's waiting for the war of Gog and Magog. And when the time comes, when the war of Gog and Magog comes, the rest of the Barad is going to fall down and it's going to nail the army of Gog and Magog. Well, Gog is the king of Magog. It's going to nail their army. And the whole thing will be completely destroyed. What's the pshat behind that? What does that mean? People. Barad had a power. And it had a power to cause Yiras Shamayim. You know what that means? Barad came from Shamayim. And it made them afraid. What were they afraid of? It was pieces of Shamayim that were raining down on top of them. It caused them to have Yiras Shamayim. The Mitzrayim got Yiras Shamayim. Says Rav Wolfson, that's what Paro was able to say, Hashem HaTzadik Vani Ami HaRashayim. How in the world did he get Paro to say that? He got Paro to have Yiras Shamayim. Had it finished off, had Barad finished off, it could have been the end of all the Makos. Had they gotten a full 7 days of Barad, and they wouldn't have stopped it early because they were too afraid, it could have been, that would have been the end of the Makos. And that's why Parshas Va'era ends with Barad. The other three Makos only came about because Paro didn't finish off the Makah. Because the Makah wasn't finished. And then Arba, Choshech, Hamakas, Pachoros had to come along to finish off the job. But Yira would have been accomplished just with Barad, says Rolson. That's a big Kiddush. What's the pshat? Every single Makah that came down for the Mitzrayim caused Bnei Yisrael to get something good. Bnei Yisrael had something better because they had that Makah, because the Mitzrayim got that Makah. So what happened to Bnei Yisrael when the Mitzrayim got that Makah? You know what happened? They were able to answer the shilas, the problems that people had. And people always bring up the problems. What caused you to not have your Shemayim? Well, these issues. I don't get it. If there really is a God, then why do bad things happen? I don't get it. Well, what's the point of the Holocaust? I don't get it. If there really is a God, then how come he's not answering me when I call? Those problems. Sveikos. Suffolk is the gematria of Amalek. You want to fight Amalek? You want to fight Gog and Magog? Says Rav Wolfson, you need Barad. Because when Barad comes down, it gives you Yiras Shamayim. For the Mitzrayim, even the Mitzrayim were affected by this Yiras Shamayim. But for Bnei Yisrael, they had more Yiras Shamayim than they knew what to do with. They sat there and they said, wow, this is God. They're able to look at it. It's like looking, you can't really compare it to anything you have today, but you've seen like in a desert where it has all those lightning storms. You ever seen a picture? The lightning storms are like six bolts of lightning coming down in the middle of the desert. It is an awesome sight. I've never seen it personally. I've only seen it in pictures, but it's an awesome sight of watching an electrical storm in the middle of a desert. No rain. Little bits of clouds, but an electrical storm. To be able to say, wow, is that unbelievable? It's like natural fireworks. Natural fireworks within the world. To be able to say to yourself, when you look at the world, there must be a God. Seeing Barad causes that to happen. Seeing Barad, seeing this come down, caused you to be able to do it. That's why, if you don't do Barad, Bez is interchangeable with a Mem, a Albam. Aleph is a Lamed, Bez is a Mem, Gimel is a Nun, and you keep going. It becomes Mered. And you start to rebel. You start going up against it, you say, forget it, it's not going to happen. Moshe Rabbeinu kept it up there. And eventually, when Mashiach comes, it's going to come back down again. Or right beforehand, it's going to come back down. And all the questions that people have are going to be able to be answered. It could even be that they'll answer themselves. They'll look at it and they'll be like, oh, it makes sense now. That's why, said Rav Wolfson, Moshe Rabbeinu had to go chutzla here. No, I had to go outside the city. Because to make sure that Klal Yisrael got the right idea, that this Makas Barad was going to come down and answer your problems later on. To get that, you need a tefillah that's going to be an awesome tefillah that's going to be spanning every generation. And in the future, everything will be all good. But that has to be the idea. The idea has to be that you sit there and you say, there's Yud Ke Vav Ke. We don't see that nowadays. We say it every day, hundreds of times a day. If you do all of Shemona Esrei, you do all of Pesukei Dezimra, and you go through everything, you look through it, you say it hundreds of times a day, and you never say the actual word once. Because we don't get it. Because there are no open miracles. But there will be. There will be. Dam Va'esh V'Simros Asha. There will be. And the blood is going to be spilled again, and hopefully it won't be ours. There's going to be something that happens. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be freaking scary. It's going to be one of the worst things that could happen to certain people. One of the worst things that ever happens. But the follow-up is that the sun comes out. The sun comes out, it heals everyone, everybody's all good, and our tefillah all works. And we actually feel like we're doing something. It's not that you need someone to tell you to get up, to go to chakras, to put on tefillin, to go do whatever you need to do. You'll do it because you know you should do it. It's not an amira. It's a dibor. Think back, and maybe you'll be able to get to the point where you remember there was a God. There was a God, He did something crazy, He did something awesome, and He revealed Himself as Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Now, I tell a kid, we can get there. But that's the whole point of this parsha. That's why it starts off this way, that's why it ends off this way. And it could have been it, and Paro didn't get it. Paro stopped it early. That's the end of this week's parsha. Have a good Shabbos.